Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are many fairy tales, movies, TV shows, and books in which someone is granted the classic request of three wishes. And these fun and fictional stories really challenge our imaginations, and they all invite us to wonder, what would I choose if I was in their situation? In our psalm, which we read responsibly, David gives us his answer. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Above all things, David wanted to be in God's loving, forgiving, and gracious presence. What is your one thing? How would you respond to that question? And this morning in the gospel text, Jesus helps us with this. Jesus tells us what that one thing really is, what the one thing needful really is. The one thing we need above all things is to listen to him and to receive his life-giving service. We might be tempted to think, or others might try to tell us, that there's a time when we can move beyond being forgiven and receiving his life-giving service. They might say, "We know it, let's move on, let's study and talk about something else." But just as a branch must always receive nourishment from the vine or die, no matter how green or vibrant it may be, so listening to Jesus and his word and receiving his service is the one thing above all things that we really need. And so Luke begins by telling us that as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, he enters into a village, probably Bethany. And there he is greeted and welcomed by Martha, who opens the door to her home to him and his disciples. And they are going to serve him while they are staying there. Martha, as we know from the Gospel of John, has a few siblings. She is Lazarus's sister, the same one who had died and had been raised back to life from Jesus. Martha also has a sister named Mary. She is the woman who anoints his feet with expensive oil the week before he is crucified. And as we've already noted, Martha opens her home to Jesus and his disciples. And having a rabbi or teacher at one's house would be a great honor in those days. It would be like having the mayor over at your house for dinner. If the mayor came over, you'd want your home to be clean, pristine, and ready to impress. You'd want the house dusted, the picture frame straightened in the hallway, the carpet vacuumed, and the floor polished. You'd want the yard mowed and looking good. The meal would be delicious, and all of the courses would be on time and according to plan. But really, doing such a thing would be stressful and challenging, wouldn't it? With trying to do all of these things on top of entertaining, you'd be pulled here, there, and everywhere in all sorts of directions. You'd be distracted, and understandably so, trying to do all of these things. As you can imagine, Martha is. Luke tells us that Martha is distracted with all the serving that she needs to do. And the word distracted has a fun picture with it. It literally means pulled or dragged around to and fro. And doesn't that perfectly describe Martha in this instance? She's welcoming Jesus and his disciples. She is giving them hospitality. She is cooking and cleaning and preparing a meal for over 12 people without modern appliances and a modern grocery store. Cooking for holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving is hard enough with these things. Can you imagine doing it without them? That would be quite challenging. And so Martha is pulled and dragged in all of these directions. She has so much serving to do, and she is distracted. And how is she feeling? What do you think? Troubled, worried, stressed, agitated, frustrated. And she vents her frustrations to Jesus and calls for help. Her sister Mary, who could be helping, is not. She's not doing a thing. She's sitting on the floor, listening to his word, holding on to the things that he has uttered. And so Martha, seeing that, says, "Lord, do you not care that I am serving all by myself? Tell her to help me." You could just hear the stress and frustration in her request, can't you? His arrival has added so much work, and the one person who could and should help is doing nothing. In Martha's eyes, her sister should be helping. It doesn't matter that she's sitting at his feet listening to his word. Sometimes in life, things just need to get done, don't they? And so poor Martha is stressed, troubled, and dragged around by all the things she needs to do. Her reaction is completely understandable. And it's also relatable. What pulls or drags us around in our lives? What distracts us from God and His Word? Sometimes in seminary, I remember feeling and being so busy that I felt I didn't have time just to read my Bible and do personal devotions. And some days, I hate to say it, I didn't. And then it hit me. I was preparing to train and to preach and teach God's Word, but then didn't have time to read it, and then didn't have time to be grounded in it. Something was wrong and needed to change fast. And when I noticed I felt like that and things were getting that way, I'd make a conscious effort to stop what I was doing and to read God's Word. I should always have time for that, no matter what needed to be done. Things can pull and drag me around. They could distract me, but I couldn't keep letting them distract me from that. And the same thing happens to us all the time, doesn't it? Our daily vocations can pull us in all sorts of directions. Can be caring for an aging parent and taking care of their finances, scheduling appointments and finding time to run errands for them since they can't drive anymore. Can be managing a home while balancing a job. We need to cook and clean. We need to do the lawn and laundry, garden and take out the garbage. We need to wake up, shower, get ready, go to work, put in our hours, drive home, find time to relax if we can, and do it all over again. Can be caring for a family. Little Bill has to go to soccer practice. Tim has a dentist appointment. Becky needs help with her science project, which is due tomorrow. The dog is sick and needs to go to the vet, and dinner needs to be cooked. Lunch is packed and made so no one forgets and calls mom at work. Life can be stressful and hectic. Life can create anxiety and apprehension and angst. And these things that we need to do in and of themselves are good and they need to get done. But even good things and needed things can create stress and worry in our lives. Even good things, even needed things can distract and drag us away from God. Even good things can choke the work of God's Word and make us forget who the real servant is, Jesus. Back in chapter 8, Luke gives us a word and warning of Jesus that we really need to hear. Jesus says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a good and honest heart and bear fruit with patience." All too often, we can go through life choked by cares and riches and pleasure and by the things that we need to do. And these things can choke and distract us. But what does Jesus do? Seeing Martha's worry and stress, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Growing up in the Cooey household, if you heard your first full name and your middle name said together consecutively, you knew that you were in trouble. Nicholas Michael was never a good thing to hear. But when I would hear my name more than once, Nick, Nick, I always knew that there was loving concern. Jesus' response shows his love and care for Martha. He knows what's going on and what's bothering her. It's why he calms and comforts her. It's also why he redirects her. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." Jesus doesn't rebuke her, but he refocuses her. He doesn't dismiss her troubles or say they aren't important or they're not a big deal, but redirects her to the one thing necessary. He He directs her to the one thing above all things, His Word. Mary, her sister, is sitting at His feet listening to that. That is the one thing needful, and that won't be taken away. While Martha was serving Jesus, she sadly missed out on the service and gifts that He gives through His Word. In our troubled and distracted lives, marked by stress and worry, Jesus addresses you. He calls you by name in a voice of love and care. He calls us by name and makes us His own. He quiets our hearts and fears. He holds us in His arms and says, "It will be okay, I'll get you through this." He takes us by the hand and leads us back to Him, and we get distracted and dragged away by things in our lives and our own sinful desires. And as He does that, we see that He serves us. Our synod follows the old Eastern and German tradition of calling our communion service the divine service. The point behind that title is that worship is first and foremost God's service to us. Certainly we respond to His grace by praising and confessing His name and by serving our neighbor, but really first things first. In our service, we receive the fruits of His life, death, and suffering for you and for me. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. He serves us. He gives us these gifts that comes through hearing and His Word. But Jesus doesn't just call us by name and serve us. He also redirects us. Life will shift our gaze and focus. Make no doubt about it. And so Jesus brings our gaze back. He shifts and focuses it to His Word, which says you are saved and forgiven. He shifts it to that Word that equips, empowers, and encourages it. He directs us to that Word that gives us comfort and consolence, that gives us help and hope, and that proclaims God does all things for our good. There are many fairy tales and books and TV shows in which someone is given three wishes. And these fun scenarios invite us to wonder, what would I choose? This morning, I think it's simple. Let us keep choosing the one thing needful with our Lord's help, our Lord's Word and His life-giving service. In His name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.